The show is brought to you by Organifi. Organifi Green Juice promises to deliver all the healthy superfoods you need in just one drink. It's a green powder that promises to deliver endless energy, mental clarity, and fewer sugar cravings. As a loyal listener of this show, you'll receive 15% off your order. My personal favorite is their Sunrise to Sunset bundle, as it includes three of the best sellers. Use my promo code WRESTLING15 to get 15% off your order today. That's OrganifiShop.com. Organifi spelled O-R-G-A-N-I-F-I. Organifi, O-R-G-A-N-I-F-I. So go to OrganifiShop.com and order yours today.
Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio, starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D, bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM. Great to be a wrestling fan. Love being here. Thank you for being with us. If you like the show, go ahead and subscribe to iTunes. Go ahead and hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell notification. Never miss any of our shows. As always, I'm joined by the Wizard himself, Nephew Corey. What's going on, Wizard?
Hey, what's going on?
And we also got the pleasure of being joined tonight by the champ himself, Champ Creed. What's up, brother?
Hey, what's going on, G-Money?
Hey, nothing much, man. Nothing much. We got a big weekend in the world of professional wrestling this past weekend. We had the All In pay-per-view. Do we still call it pay-per-views or do we call it shows? I still get confused on that one.
But well, as long as we're still paying per view of the said show, then it's a pay-per-view.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to go ahead and call it a pay-per-view, okay? It is a pay-per-view, the All-In pay-per-view that we just saw.
Or hold on. Or, gee, we could call it the Vern Gagne Classic, if you like.
Yeah, look, right?
Hey, we can leave that Vern Gagne jokes alone. But I know that, man. I ain't mean to put the man in the grave early. So, you know, thanks for Brian H. Waters who's watching us online. Yeah, Brian definitely called pay-per-views. We can still call it pay-per-view. I guess all WWE stuff is still called network specials, but we can call it pay-per-view here. Let's talk about All In. All In, you know, the Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks came up with the idea to have an All In, have a show. You know, they sold out the 10,000 seat arena in Chicago. Actually, the final numbers end up being over 11,000 people who attended the show. So yeah. Who actually paid? It was in the building, 11,000. So with this being the idea, and I'm gonna ask you, Champ, you're the businessman of the crew. Is this sustainable? I think that's the $1 million question. We saw the video that came out afterwards because they ran out of time, so this part wasn't showed on TV. But thank goodness people recording things with their phone. And, you know, Cody said this may not be the final one. Is this sustainable for years to come?
Yes, it is. And the reason why it's sustainable now, as opposed to, you know, prior years, or I'd say, you know, this would be like the 20th year, is it, or the 18th year since WCW went out of business?
Yeah.
This is the 17th year since they've been out of business, or going into 18 years, yeah.
Okay, so it's going into 18 years since WCW's been out of business. I think the business model that TNA/Impact Wrestling had in the early 2000s with the weekly pay-per-view, or they had shows per week or something like that? That was a great idea, but the timing wasn't right. So what you have in the marketplace now with All In, what Cody and the Young Bucks have done, it's a great idea and the timing is perfect. The reason why it's perfect is because you have a plethora of media outlets, from social media to traditional media now, that are starving for content, shareable content, social content, user-generated content, and also premium content. This All In show, I watched the pre-show, the over-budget Battle Royal on WGN, which is really good. WGN is a Chicago Midwest-based television network that comes on in a lot of homes across the country on various cable packages. So that was great for them to satiate, you know, the viewers with free content. In terms of the pay-per-view, you can get it on your phone. You know, you can get it outside of your home if you have a Wi-Fi connection. You know, you can find, you know, some people, we don't advise you do it, but you can find a free stream, you know, so the content is accessible to everyone that has a smartphone. And even if you wanted to do the traditional route, but the thing that's impressive is that the collectivization of all of the indie outlets, you know, from New Japan International, CAA, not CAA, excuse me, CMLL, Ring of Honor, like all of these companies basically have come together and figured out a way that they can bring the market share of independent fans to an event that now will travel for a pay-per-view event of this magnitude. Like a lot of indie wrestling fans travel now to get their fix of indie pro wrestling content. And then the coup de grace, no pun intended, is the fact that you got your man Conrad, who's basically he had a huge hand in bringing together the convergence of the wrestling podcast industry, if you want to call it, and bringing all of the old school fans, all of the new school fans, fans that use social media, fans that don't use social media. The demographic from the all-in attendance, from what I heard, because I wasn't there, you had people that were 60 years old. They were there with their grandchildren that were like 12 years old. You know, then you had that male demographic, 21, 35 in between. So is it sustainable? Yes, because the market conditions are right. Is it sustainable? Yes, it's sustainable because you have a fan base that's willing to travel and willing to put money out and willing to pay for those things like merch, pay-per-view download streams, what have you. And the last thing that makes it sustainable is, here's the deal. They're doing all of this without a television deal. And I've been racking my brain to think what media outlet, whether it's traditional media or digital media, that they would best benefit from being with. And the only thing that I could think of right now is if they were to partner with Amazon and they were distributed with Amazon, with the reach that Amazon has, their mailing list, the customer base, they could basically do something to whereas if you watch the streaming on Amazon, you could have like the direct pipeline to exclusive merch and other collectible items that they have. So that would be great from that perspective. But then also
you can literally click it in one click on Amazon while you're watching.
Yes, because they already have your credit card information, right?
Yep.
So, you know, Marty Scurll, he comes out with his merch. I love his merch. I've never seen the guy wrestle, even when his match came up for whatever reason, I had something else to do. But I like the guy's merch. So in one click, you can get his merch sent directly to your home. You know, so I think that Amazon would be ideal. And if not Amazon, then I think even Twitch. Twitch is under Amazon. So, yeah, so you have Twitch and Amazon. So that setup right there I think would be great moving those guys forward into the future.
Yeah, and also, Champ, something that Champ Creed touched on that I wanted to parlay in is that when he mentioned, even though they may not want it or it's illegal, the streaming, like people do on Facebook Live, I think in a weird, perverse way, I think they kind of do want that. Just based on how the indies are and, you know, back in the day with tape trading and that's the only way you could get people to see your stuff. Mm-hmm. Some people probably didn't even know what All In was or why it was on.
Yeah.
But somebody threw up a Facebook live stream of it, and at that point, yeah, I definitely get it. They don't want to lose not $1. But the exposure of the show, I'm not advocating for illegal streaming online. We're not doing that. But I could see the point that if they were kind of not okay with it, but understanding or accepting of it. That could be the reason why, is because it just opened the door for them to be reached on every avenue possible, essentially. So
yeah, and that's your mixtape. That's your mixtape for your next show, basically.
Yep.
Hey, Champ. You know, Brian Waters listening in said the same thing. I was thinking, man, you just gave them some information for free, man. We should have kept that to ourselves. we gave them free information, man. I'm sitting over here thinking, like, you giving them free information, man. Free money.
So they'll get that one for free. Hey, listen, man, they're gonna expand. They're gonna expand a lot in this next year, and who knows? You know, we get the ship set the right way. Maybe we'll be doing some broadcasts with them.
But you know, the one thing I thought about now and really managed to really think about, you know, the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes contract are coming up. You know, with the success of All In, I don't think they make the jump to WWE just based off this alone. I think they stay where they're at and make money. They could, if they get that backer, as you mentioned, if they get that support they need, they just have to do one of about, I say, three of these a year without having a TV deal. It could be all right. Or even just keep stick with the one.
No, I say stick with the one. I think you got to stick with the one. I don't think there's enough. I think scheduling, because of the different avenues that they incorporated inside of All In with pulling from so many different promotions, the scheduling had to be right, and it had to be well enough in advance that people could make arrangements for it. I don't think going two and three times a year, maybe two, but three or more, no. I would personally stay at one.
But I think people they're going to set this weekend off. I think this is the Labor Day weekend is a perfect weekend. It's away from WWE. Yeah. It's away from, you know, you just got off of Survivor Series. There's nothing else there. Football hadn't started yet. So I think this weekend, the weekend of Labor Day weekend, is a set in stone place. I mean, no one ever thought that WrestleMania 1, the March and April time frame, would have been WrestleMania season the whole time, you know? But I think this works.
Absolutely.
I think this works.
Even I don't think you have to look at it in terms of like doing multiple three, four, five a year. I say what you do is you have your All-In show, whatever, right? You have it around this time. This is a great time. It's a really good time. And then you have your MSG show. Well, it's not an All-In show that they're having at MSG, but it's kind of like that. Let's collect the, let's team up as indies and put on a show. You can do that at Madison Square Garden. And I say you stick to those two. But like I said, if they get a TV deal and then they can start building storylines, you're looking at a whole new ball game.
Yeah. I can see that.
And I don't want Cody or the Young Bucks. I don't want anyone from All In to make the jump. I mean, I know they got the – what guy did they just recently sign to NXT? Page? What's his last – Alan Page, is it? What's his name?
You talking about Matt Riddle?
Matt Riddle.
No, Matt Riddle's gone. There's another guy that – oh, man, the guy with the cowboy boots, and his storyline was hilarious. What is this guy's name? Oh, I can't think of it off the top of my head. But I can look at his performance, and I can tell that the WWE would want a guy like that. And I don't want anyone to leave because I feel that they're going to be buried.
I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to say not all of them, but some semblance or one of – somebody's going to WWE, whether it's the Bucks, whether it's Omega, whether it's Cody, one of them's going to WWE, and I think they're going to do that out of the greater good of the group, because the most exposure is having somebody in every territory, as you could call it. Because look at the essentialness of the Bullet Club. In a sense, you have Balor and AJ and Gallows and Anderson in WWE. You have everybody else. You have Cody and ROH and the Bucks and ROH. You have Omega in Gorillas of Destiny in New Japan. So they're covered pretty much everywhere. They may not be able to call themselves the Bullet Club certain places in WWE, but the essential greater good of the brand Bullet Club is everywhere. And all of them are still eating off of the Bullet Club name, and even though it may be Balor Club, even though it may be the Good Brothers in WWE, you know, they're all, in some semblance, the Bullet Club is still healthy in every organization. So I think for the greater good, somebody may go to WWE just to keep the exposure going.
I mean, if I had to pick somebody, I think it'd be the Young Bucks. I mean, I think they got a family.
I think so too.
And that money right there is good. I'm not saying that they're money hungry, but the money will be good. And they still can get, if they can still partner up with Cody and run the show, I think it'll be good. Cody's been there. I think Cody has the mind of Dusty. You know, he's a good booker. And now people see that it was success. You're going to have more people trying to jump on the bandwagon, i.e. your sponsors and different people like that. Okay, let's do this every year round. And if you look at what they did, they just took the concept of what happened at WrestleMania weekend, WrestleCon, and moved it into a weekend by itself. you know, 10,000 seats. I think, you know, I mentioned, I think they're, the event should be one off. I think they're not ready for the TV yet because you are dealing with indie people. And do you need somebody behind that? And if they got somebody like a Paul Heyman, and I say Jim Cornette, which probably would never happen, somebody who really understands TV and the wrestling business, a Pritchard per se, I think they could pull it off.
Oh, the guy, his name is, Alan Page. I think that's his name.
Adam Page?
Hangman Adam Page. There we go. Like, I looked at him and I saw his performance and I'm like, yeah, they're going to have their eyes on him. And I know
I misheard you in the sense. I thought I heard you say they were already signed to NXT. Did you hear that the same way, Glenn?
Because yeah, I thought he was already signed, but
that's why we were sitting here like, who? Because I knew you were talking about Hangman Page to begin with, but okay. I thought you said signed to NXT. That's why I was like, nah, he's not signed to NXT. I can definitely see what you're saying, that if there's anybody that they could snipe from that they could still mold in the WWE image, I guess you could say, it's Hangman Page, because he has the most potential to be a breakout star. But the rest of them are already established in their own ways. Like, you're not going to change – basically, WWE is not going to change the Bucks, Cody, or Kenny Omega.
Oh, Kenny, if they come over.
They're not going to change any of them. They could change Hangman Page because he's not established enough yet. I mean, people know who he is on the indie circuit, but to a wider, broader audience, I can see him being changed over. But the rest of them, no. No, you'd have to bring them in the way they are.
Yeah.
And on top of that, let me add, you know, I'm looking at these guys. I think Hangman Page had the best match, him and the guy that he wrestled against. They had the best match, I think. Without me watching Marty's match and then the other match that came on before that, because it was just like too long. But the impact, no pun intended, of this thing is I went to go get a haircut today, and I'm currently right now in Chicago. Saw a guy with a Bullet Club shirt coming down from the L line, the train. And I saw him. I looked at him, and I pointed to him, and he looked at me, and he said, "All in." And I said to him, "All in," right? Didn't know this guy from a hole in the wall, but I just pointed to his shirt and looked at him, gave him a look, and he looked at me, pointed back. So we had a little kayfabe moment on the train, whatever. But the cultural impact of it, like, All In means something now. You know, like, the event itself was, I text you guys, the event itself was a built-in storyline, you know, with Cody being at the center of it. And when you have something as organic as this, you know, it resonates. And you know, it's days after the events, and I still hear people posting, I read people posting about it, hear people talking about it. I was on vacation, and, you know, I'm in an airport. I see guys with wrestling shirts on talking about it, you know. And it's just amazing that you go from something that was organically put together to the WWE, where it seems like they are so anti-organic heat, anti-organic face turns, anti-organic everything. It's like every little thing has to be micromanaged and planned to the point where it seems as if they're almost tone deaf to what their audience, what will pretty much get their audience off. Like,
you know what? I'm gonna say this, Champ. I'll be the one to say it. It's one person that's tone deaf there, and we know who it is. I'm sorry. I respect them. I respect them 100%. But it's Vince McMahon at this point. I think Hunter is literally waiting for the keys to get into his hands.
Well, you can see that. But, you know, not because you can see that now. But look at over the last 4 or 5 years who Hunter has brought into the company. Nothing but those indie darlings. your Kevin Owens, your Tyler Blacks, your Dean Ambrose, those type of guys, your Finn Balor's, those he went searching the indies to find the best guys. Your Ricochet's,
he got
now.
AJ Styles. I don't.
AJ Styles.
AJ Styles
got brought in because not what he did in TNA. Can we be honest? AJ Styles got brought in for what he did in New Japan and what he did in the indies. Not for what he did.
I think he was noticed. I think, you know what?
He was noticed in TNA. He was noticed in TNA, but he didn't. They didn't go get him after he left TNA.
Here's why. I'm gonna tell you why. I think they courted him in TNA when he was still there. I think Hunter or somebody, crazy as it may seem, I think Hunter or somebody told him to go to New Japan
and develop.
Don't come here from TNA.
Yeah,
it just wasn't gonna have a bad vibe. I mean, it wasn't gonna have a good vibe because somebody would have just wrote him off as another TNA guy.
Yeah,
I don't think he would have gotten the exposure and the booking that it would have been respected for his caliber of an athlete. I think somebody told him you have to go to New Japan. And somebody might have told him to join the Bullet Club for real.
Yeah.
Somebody might have told him that because they were probably like, listen, that's the hottest thing going right now. But somebody in WWE told him, go join Bullet Club and then do a year or so there. Go to Wrestle Kingdom and you'll be here.
You know what? Brian H. Water, who's listening online, thank you for listening and chiming in. He brought up a good point. You know, that their personality, their wrestling was always there, but their personality wasn't until they got to the WWE.
Yeah,
nope.
Yeah, they had to develop.
Exactly,
yeah,
right.
And you develop that on the road.
But he also made another point, too, which is good, and I thought about this before. Is this the Bullet Club, quote, end quote, the modern-day NWO? Is this what the NWO could have did if there wasn't a WCW?
I mean,
go ahead, Chad, because I'm still the same way. Go ahead.
Yeah, stables come and stables go. Every generation has that landmark stable, so I don't think you have to, you know, position it as what this is what the NWO could have been, because I think the NWO actually set the benchmark, and for what they did business-wise, the people that they had in it, it was a moment in time, and you're never going to recapture that moment in time. You know, so that's what I think about that. I think that in terms of branding and marketing, I think they actually have an opportunity to surpass the NWO from a merch standpoint on a global level because of those media platforms and pipelines that I mentioned that they have now. But to go back to what we just finished talking about, like, you know, what Vince sees and what the marketplace is saying, here's what I also think. You know, WWE is a publicly traded company. It's like a Marvel universe, the DC universe, the Disney universe. And when you operate a content universe as such with certain characters, you have to do certain things to keep things palatable to your shareholders, to the mass market. You know, you got to sell certain things to kids, and it's always best to sell to family. And I get that. You know, I'm not asking for the return of the Attitude Era. I get it. It was a moment of time. I'm not asking them to go even further back. But what I am asking as a consumer, as a fan, and just as a media analyst, I'm just asking for things to maximize the experience or captivate the imagination of the fans with consistency, with follow through, and just with, you know, with certain things, like, for example, we talked about Becky, and you gave me that argument about the smart towns, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now that they've been out of the smart towns, I mean, I guess you considered Toronto, that's where they were last week, a smart town.
Yeah.
You didn't mention that, but I can see it being that. But even last night, I didn't watch the whole show, but I did go on YouTube to hear the segment just to see what the crowd would say, what Charlotte would say, what Becky would say. And the attitude and the way that Becky is even coming off in the program interviews, she's coming off with more exuberance and more swag that's connected to that element of cool that we always talk about, you know? And it's like now that they feel it, they're pivoting, but it's like they're pivoting better late than never. But they're pivoting, you know, later than capturing the moment like what I feel, you know, they would have done in the past.
Well, ultimately, this is what's going to determine where they're going with her. We're going to have to see how she wins matches coming up.
Mm-hmm.
If she's still somewhat winning matches somewhat clean, then they're going to go with your route of possibly having her as just out there as not necessarily a heel, not necessarily a face. They're just going to let her like kind of let it organically happen. If they're having her cheat to win or win cheap and win dirty, then it's absolutely they're going with the heel turn. They're not even looking back. They're going to go full bore with that.
But since we're on that topic and we closed off the All In, if you looked at from SmackDown this past Tuesday night with the Charlotte and Becky segment, you can see that the heel with her is coming there. You know, even the subtle things, you know, the all black, the chains around her neck now, the hair being a little mm-hmm. bit wild. Even the way she would cut Charlotte off in her comments when they did the vignettes. And I always think about Champ, it is better when you take things outside of the ring and put it in a, whether yeah. it's a studio, whether it's a grocery store, whether it's like Stone Cold and The Rock throwing stuff into mm-hmm. the ocean or the river, wherever it was at. It's better when you make it personal. This right here, that's why I think SmackDown is one of the better shows right now, because if you look at the feuds they have, all the feuds are personal. AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, personal. Becky Lynch and Charlotte, personal.
Yeah.
Miz.
Orton and Jeff.
Yeah. Orton and Jeff, personal. Miz.
Yeah,
and
wait, Daniel. So what is the storyline with that? Because I got confused with them two.
Well, pretty much what's going on now with Orton and Jeff is that Orton is pretty much going back to his roots of being the Legend Killer. And gotcha. He's pretty much saying, you know, everybody just jumps on to, you know, the flavor of the month and how, you know, people just think Jeff Hardy is just so great. And Randy's like, I'm the one that's been here full time. I'm the one that's never left. I'm the one that's, you know, has had to take the back seat to all these other people while I was the one consistently here. And he's going to do away with all of these people that, you know, are, you know, not on his level and not true to WWE like he is. And now he's targeting Jeff Hardy.
Which he has a valid point. You know, he has a valid point. I think that, but like the point, all those feuds are personal. And that's why people like the shows. That's why people yeah. like SmackDown. That's why people like going to All In, because they can connect. The wrestling fans have a connection now. And I think that's where the wrestling boom, it always come back around. People leave wrestling for a minute and then they come back. Wrestling will be here forever. It will definitely be here forever. So with this feud, Becky Lynch and Charlotte, I think is good. I think, add to your point, I think people did not embrace that Becky heel turn at first because it was fresh. It was fresh. And, you know, I think, Wizard, you always say it, let the storyline play out. I think when this is all said and done, Becky will be a good heel.
No, listen, no, man. I feel that Becky could be the badass baby. She could be the female Stone Cold Steve Austin, bro.
But you have to let her be a heel first, Champ.
Yeah.
Stone Cold was a heel before he turned into that. Remember that?
Okay.
You got to let her be the heel first. Because all of a sudden, then people are going to start thinking, okay, where was this 6 months ago when you were losing and doing nothing? Like, she was dead to rights at that point. And you know who else I think they're doing with that now? Slowly but surely, I'm sorry, Naomi just looks like she's checked out.
Yeah.
That's why you take Becky Lynch and let her beat down on Naomi, because Naomi's a fan favorite. People love her. Mm-hmm. And you take Becky Lynch, who put Naomi out. Okay,
hey, listen. Mm-hmm. What's Charlotte's finishing move?
Figure eight
or the natural selection. So, depending.
Yeah. So can we kind of rehash history and have Becky pass out from the figure eight as opposed to tap out?
If she does it now, that kills all her momentum.
Yeah.
If she passes out, she's nothing.
Yeah. Her momentum's dead because she's the one that initiated the turn.
Yeah.
At this point, she's already her momentum's gone.
So what scenario do we need for Becky to jump to that next level? Like
Becky has to have a heel run first, and then it has to get to a fan favorite, similar to Austin and Brett, excuse me, that you have to have somebody on that brink of turning. Maybe somebody's gone, maybe somebody comes over, you know, something to where there's a fan favorite that is going. You know who would have been perfect for this? A Nikki Bella would have been perfect. Two or three years down the line,
no, she'd
to turn Becky
for it
face.
Now, man. She'd be people don't like the Bellas.
But they're keeping the Bellas on Raw, though. They're keeping Nikki on Raw.
Nikki's going to be on Raw. So that's the thing. It will take another year or two of Becky having a solid heel run to where Nikki is a face, and or you could do it with a Ronda, that you have Ronda end up turning heel, and you can have, you know, Ronda put Becky in a choke or something and choke her out a year later or something. You could do it that way. To where you're doing a double turn and you're turning Ronda heel and you're turning Becky face.
And that's just a matter of time if Ronda does turn heel. You know, she does. I think it's no time soon, but it's just a matter of time.
The other thing, too, it has to be done with a face that is legitimately credible enough that you can believe them beating the heel. Like, remember, Austin and Brett, it was believable that Brett could beat Austin. Then Brett was beating Austin every time.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it has to be somebody that no matter what they do, Becky can't beat them. But in that same light of Becky not beating him, she's earning the fans' respect. In which this could have worked for her in Charlotte. But it would have had to have been like a year or two later. You got to have Becky have the run. I think that's the main thing for me. If Becky has a successful heel run, because Austin had a successful heel run, he was a huge, huge heel.
I don't even remember who he feuded with. Savio Vega, who was supposed to be a face. Who else did he feud with?
He feuded with Shawn for a little bit. They ran a couple of matches together. Then he feuded with Brett. And remember, Brett was a babyface, and that's when they started to kind of turn Brett. I mean, not turn Brett and turn Austin. When Austin started fighting Brett, because what helped Austin, and this is my opinion, what helped Austin is Brett and Shawn, because the way Brett went out after Shawn won, Brett looked like a punk, and then it started making him look like, oh, what does he think he's supposed? He's entitled. Do you think he really is the best? And I always think about how Shawn used to call him Mark Man, because he used to be a mark for himself. Like, he really thought he was the best there is, best there was, best there ever will be. And it got to the point, and I don't care. Brian hates it because Brian's a Brett fan. I'm a Shawn fan. I don't care. He can have all of this. You listen to all of this and take it. Brett was a punk, and it looked like it after Shawn beat him. So Brett came back thinking he was still the man. You had Austin, who was like, no, you're not. And, you know, Brett, all of a sudden, which the booking of this was perfect, because they had Brett, rightfully so, complaining for a reason. Brett had a legitimate gripe.
Legitimate, yeah.
Because he kept losing in the worst ways to where, I mean, you go back December 95 in your house, Shawn, you know, not 95, 96, Brett and Sid, and then Shawn, you know, mistakenly interferes and costs Brett the match. Brett getting ready to win the Royal Rumble in 97. Austin comes back in illegally. Brett loses the cage match to Sid for the championship because of Taker, because he got the door slammed in his face.
Yeah, he kept getting screwed.
He recapped the whole 1997 series we did last month.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Brett kept losing, and he kept having a legitimate gripe. But because they booked him to cry about it, people were like, oh, come on, you crying again? Like nobody was using logic to be like, whoa, he's legitimately got a gripe, which that's where your Brian Waters comes in, and that he's a true Brett fan. So he hears everything Brett's saying and is right. But for the other majority who's like, all right, listen, Brett, just stop crying. And then you got Austin, who is so funny in the way he's portraying it, because he's that dude that you could legitimately see at school or on the street or with your boys. It's like, dude, stop crying. And now you got Austin turning into the protagonist, and Brett pretty much, and the colorful language that they had Brett institute as well was great, because Brett was so clean cut in his wrestling style and his promos, his attitude. It was like, whoa, you hearing Brett drop, you know, S's and A's and, you know, GD's and all this, and you're just like, whoa, like, okay, Brett, wait a minute, like, relax.
But see, that, by this point, it was subtle, though. It was a subtle change.
It was very subtle, because it wasn't every other word, but it was in the heat of moments. Every time Brett complained, he dropped an expletive, and you were just like, oh, he's really, and it, as much as people, by this point, by 95, 96, 90, early 97, people pretty much had an idea of what wrestling was with the scripting or the, you know, anything predetermined, anything, but credit to their creative that they still found a way to blur the lines, even though you knowingly knew that this was scripted. You really were still like, whoa, like, he's really kind of upset. So they did that. I think ultimately that's what Becky needs. Becky needs a strong face to feud with her, to where she can't beat that face, but that face is complaining about something.
But you know what's funny, though? I don't even think they have that strong face on the SmackDown roster outside of
Shane. No, they don't. They do.
I disagree with you guys. They got Asuka.
Asuka doesn't have the promo skills. It's not going to work. The promo skills are hugely needed in this, because that's what pretty much Bret and Austin was. A lot of it was the promos.
Wait. Lest we forget, you put an S in front of Hitman, and that's the exact.
And you got my exact opinion of him.
We just titled the show. I'm gonna change it. The S in front of Hitman. I'm just gonna call the show the S. Episode 31.
That was one of the greatest promos. Because remember, either, if I'm not mistaken, I think either Brett had just come back or Austin was still trying to goad him into coming back. I think Austin was still trying to get him to come back.
Yeah.
And it was, that was just done so perfect. And, you know, and honestly, all jokes aside, credit to Bret Hart, because I think Brett was the one that wanted to work with Austin.
Yeah.
He didn't want to work with anybody else but Austin for that. So, yeah,
and that,
I mean, the
and that
chemistry
was
of them.
Best work.
Yeah.
That was his best work on the mic.
That was, oh, absolutely. I honestly, 100% of Brett's career, that career change that he took after he lost to Shawn at WrestleMania 12, that next year in a couple of months that he had, actually a year, pretty much a year, because he came back at Survivor Series 96. That was his first match back, and then he was gone the next. So that year, that last year he had in WWE was the most entertaining work I've ever seen out of him.
All right. Yeah. Let's shift gears a little bit. Let's go to Monday Night Raw. This past Monday Night Raw, we saw, and I'm going to skip to the end. Well, now before I get to the end of Monday Night Raw, we got new tag team champions. We got Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler are your new Raw tag team champions. Which was kind of a shocking. They just knocked the Revival out of a spot. I'm a big Revival fan, so I'm thinking this was the
opportunity. I am too. I was kind of mad at that, but I get it.
I get it too, because these guys, as I said earlier, I think on the Raw show, you can also find here on YouTube or iTunes, check it out, that I mentioned this is the most relevant Dolph Ziggler has been in 3 or 4 years. When Drew McIntyre came back, everybody thought, you know, Drew and Dolph was getting together, they will be tag team champions. Hey, here they go. Who would have thought that Dolph Ziggler hooking up with Drew McIntyre, with the energy that Drew brought, will have him on Monday Night Raw, main event. You know what I'm saying? Being an IC champion.
Drew's the world. Mm-hmm.
We might be getting ready to say the same thing at the same time. I see Drew McIntyre in the main event of WrestleMania next year.
Yeah, I was about to say Drew's a world champion literally days in the making. We're just counting the days till he's world champion.
You know what I see with him? He is carrying himself like a man that knows something, and he's doing everything in his power just to stay in his position so he doesn't blow it or he doesn't leak it.
Well, he's already blew it once. I'm talking about career-wise. He didn't blow it. He wasn't where he needed to be. And same thing with what I said earlier about who did I say? They said they need AJ. Same thing. I think they knew that we have something with Drew McIntyre, but we've got to let you go because where you're at right now with us in this company, nobody's gonna ever believe us pushing you.
Well, that's why they miss territory days. When you take these guys that go down to the indies or leave a major program like WWE, go to the indies, and basically I'm not saying they're going to learn how to work other ways and know how to entertain a crowd a different way and build a little bit of heat and come back. That's what used to happen in territories. You got tired. You got old in the Memphis territory, so they sent you up to New York, or they sent you down to Georgia. They sent you down to Florida, and you worked with different people. You picked up different craft. You worked with this person had this type of style, and you learned different styles, and you put all the styles together. I think that's what happened with Drew and AJ. They was able to work different places, pick up different things, and how to entertain crowds differently, and they got hot again. And now bringing them back, he got a different attitude, a different mindset, and he doesn't want to mess up our opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And he said that, and when we interviewed him a couple months ago, that's what he said. He said he didn't want to miss up an opportunity. I might repost that and leave it in the link here, our interview with Drew McIntyre, and so people can listen to it. So that's something that he wants to do. I think they will be gold. I'm just waiting to see if he turns on Dolph Ziggler, which I don't think is anytime soon. I don't want to see them turn on each other because I think Ziggler is a heel, and I've said this all the time. Ziggler is one of those wrestlers, he's better with somebody else than by himself.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I'm just still stuck on Drew. Just you can hear and see the focus with Drew McIntyre that once they do put a world title on him, we're gonna see him on appearances. We're gonna see he has that look that they saw in him 5 years ago or 6 years ago, to where they were like, okay, we really want to do something with this dude because he's got the perfect build for, he's a 6'5", 6'6", 270-pound guy.
Wait, is he 6'4" or 6'5"?
He might be 6'5", maybe 6'6". He's pretty big.
Yeah, he's a tough, because I remember when, if I'm not mistaken, when he first came, he was billed as 6'7" or 6'6". And then a few weeks ago, I heard them say 6'4 or 6'5", whatever. I know he didn't shrink.
He's taller than Hunter, and I think Hunter is 6'4". So Drew's got to be – he's 6'5". He's
6'5"? Okay, right.
So I was going to say, he's got it, because like I said, Hunter I know is 6'4". He's taller than Hunter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, 6'5".
I mean, just look at it, and I'm gonna finish this up before I check out here. In terms of the Vince McMahon championship appearance checklist, he checks off all the boxes. In terms of his ability to carry the promo, he checks off all the boxes. In terms of him now being mature enough to carry that mantle, he checks off all the boxes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, his music. I like the music. I hope they would change his graphics a little bit more, whatever. I kind of see where they are. It's obvious they're protecting Roman Reigns by packaging him with the Shield, putting Braun and doing all this other stuff, whatever the case may be. Because